Welcome back to Master the Marketplace with ETNs. Hi friends, it's Kunal here from Master the Marketplace. Welcome back to the show. We've got an exciting day today where we're going to talk about the current state of selling third party on Amazon. And I've got a special guest with me today, Mark Tacconelli from a brand called Majik. Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Kunal. Glad that you made this time for me.
Of course. No, my pleasure. Well, Mark, just to get started, I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little more about yourself, your background, and just what you do and what's Majik all about.
Sure. So my name is Mark Tacconelli. I'm the CEO of Majik Beauty. I'm the acting CEO because we started this company with my wife, Lisa Tacconelli. So she's kind of the genesis of everything. But I'm acting because I'm still working kind of a day job. So I say this is kind of my acting job right now. But I've been in accounting and finance for the last 30 years. I transitioned over to software after getting my MBA back in the early 2000s from UCI. And really now what I'm doing is I'm running a software company for a large software, multinational. And, part of the, I think some of the benefits of me working with my wife is getting some of that experience running an engineering team, a multinational engineering team, coming up about the Amazon business is more from a technical perspective. Now I'm an acting CEO for my wife's business, and really we're formulating strategy to talk about, how we bring, interesting products to the market. But I think my background is a little bit interesting because it's not probably typical, for one. And number two is I look at Amazon as more of a kind of a business, but more of a software play and less of necessarily a pure product play. But that's a little bit about myself.
That's fantastic. And I agree. I mean, on a platform such as Amazon, it's so key to have a little bit of that technical expertise to utilize all the features of the platform to be able to effectively grow your business. So I think you've got the right background for just running a business on Amazon.
Fine, thanks.
Great. And then tell me a little more about the brand Majik. What do you sell? What kind of products? What's the brand all about? What does it represent? Just anything that you could tell me about the brand.
Sure. So Majik brand, we really focus on really premium products in the manicure and pedicure space. So when I came into the Amazon space, I looked at what was going on. This was about 5 years ago. And we really looked at, figuring out not only from a technical perspective, but what does it mean to be long-term successful in any type of business, not just Amazon. And so we really, from the early days, are really focused on a specific niche, which has kind of become in vogue in the last few years. But from the beginning, we were all about focusing in and lasering in on a niche. And so really what we've been trying to do is focus in on a really premium product for the manicure and pedicure business, really focusing on unique products that weren't in the market space. And what I like to say, to others is it was really kind of more of a branded or premium branded drugstore play, where looking for products that people wanted necessarily, that weren't really marketed, distributed in a premium, kind of like a Mercedes. I used to say we want to be the Apple of the manicure business, right? And so that was kind of more of the strategy that we tried. And that's really kind of what the brand has become, is really focused in. We made our early mistakes on trying to go beyond that, but now we've kind of dialed it back and really are focusing on really traditional, just strong business tactics, but really around those kind of, horizontals is really anything to do with nail care and pedicures. So,
got it. And then you obviously sell on Amazon. What other channels do you sell on? Other marketplaces, or do you distribute in store? What's your distribution strategy?
Yeah, so early on, what we really focused in is trying to get to the big people. So, obviously we're on Amazon, we're on eBay, we're on Walmart, we're on some of those channels. But what we've tried to do is try to really focus in on our core channels for us, and then partner, which I think we'll go into a little bit later, on the channels where we're not very strong. So looking forward into, where we want to go, that's where we're interested in partnering with key players. And I say key for a reason, because, we don't really want to be all things to everybody and be in every partnership. And I think that's some of the things that you see that's differentiating from us, is we get a lot of people that approach us to go into different markets or Europe or whatever the case might be. And, you know, just from a strategy perspective, you can't control the market when you just have everybody just outselling everything. So we've really focused around kind of three markets, Walmart, eBay, and Amazon, and then focusing in those three products, marketplaces geographically as well. So primarily North America right now, looking to expand beyond that, but we're looking and doing that with some partnerships and being more selective and smart that way. But those are the current markets and channels we're in right now.
Fantastic. Well, I think this is a great segue into just, you know, your experience of selling on Amazon as a third-party seller. So maybe I'll get into a few questions around that and love to get your opinions and thoughts on the current state of what it takes to sell on Amazon. So maybe, you know, describe to some of our listeners, you know, how do you view the competition on the marketplace? Is it, you know, there have been talks about how saturated the marketplace is getting. You know, what's your opinion? What are you seeing right now on the marketplace?
Those are some great questions. I mean, the marketplace is getting saturated. I would say what I usually tell people is it's getting saturated with easy products. When I say easy products, I mean, you know, a spatula or, you know, something just, you know, generic where there's no real differentiation. So you're going to have a whole bunch of people, you know, selling spatulas of, you know, with their own name on it. Okay, so what? And that's what you see, what I see happening with in the Chinese products, the Chinese or whomever are just looking at is there's a dollar to be made. This is just capitalism, right? So there's going to be hundreds of products, whether it be from China or whether it be from South America or wherever the products come from, it's always going to be a race to the bottom. That's just kind of how capitalism works, right? That's capitalism 101. So what I did to start out from the beginning is just really to anticipate that from the beginning and defend against it from the beginning. And that's kind of how we do it today. While we're looking at products to build or bring to the market, we look at it in one of two ways. One is it got to be unique. And then if it's unique, is it defendable? Because if you're successful, we know there's going to be two or three knockoffs within the end of the year. And, you know, we'll get into some other questions, but it could be actually your own manufacturer that's competing against you. So there's some strategies that I've devised that we've been able to stay in front of the pack, and anticipating this just because from my experience and education, we expected this from the beginning, or at least I did. The one thing I didn't expect is how fast it would happen. Mm-hmm. I knew that, you know, if there was going to be anybody that was going to copy you, it was just kind of really the speed at which how easy it is to copy you nowadays. So, I mean, that perspective, I think it is getting saturated, but it's to the ease to get in is to be expected. Mm-hmm. And then people are just going to, if there's any dollar in it, they're going to knock you off for sure. But, you know, that's nothing unique in the market today. That's happened whether you were selling, you know, widget or a knife or whatever, or a gun or whatever the case might be back in the 1800s. It's the same problem. So anyways, that's where I see it is. I think it's still a great opportunity for unique products. But if you, what I call me too products, if you're just trying to go in with what everybody else has, yeah, you're not going to be in business very long.
Got it. And then what sort of strategies exist, or how would you protect your brand in a case like that to avoid some of these counterfeits or knockoffs that could just come onto the platform?
Yeah, so there's a couple of new things that have come out, and it really depends on really what market you're in. I think overall there's been three primary strategies that I've used, and these have developed over the last few years. One is there's some programs by Amazon themselves, probably, you know, the transparency program, mm-hmm. Which we're participating in. And I don't really think that my products necessarily are really that targeted yet, but I see the early signs. And one of the other things that we have seen is more kind of tools from Amazon to know that these things are happening, as well as third-party software. So I knew this was going to happen just by studying kind of the big guys, where they are. And, you know, we're kind of preparing for it so that we are in already changing our package designs and some of the other things that we're doing to make it hard. And really the things that we're doing is really more for identification. Mm-hmm. As Amazon is getting more, as people are becoming more aware of it, they're devising more programs. But, you know, I think it's really a game of whack-a-mole. There's going to be somebody else that cheats some other way. If there's a way to cheat, there's going to be somebody that does it. So it's really about being more defensive. And so that's what some of the tools that we've been doing is, one is using the tools from Amazon, for example, and others as they devise, but using historically different tools where you're, you know, putting in reasons and ways to find the frauds as you come, whether it be with, you know, unique labeling strategies or hidden packaging designs. These are some of the things that I'm looking at and we're doing actively now to protect the people that are coming, because they're coming after me. We see it in the tools that Amazon provides, so that we're already starting before it becomes a huge problem for us.
Right, right. And then are there strategies around just the platform itself? So for example, how do you protect maybe certain keywords that a potential unauthorized seller or someone else will just take over? Like, is there a marketing strategy around protection that you would utilize?
Yeah, I mean, as far as devising keyword strategies and some of the other strategies that people copy and mimic you, I don't know if there's any really good tools for that yet. I mean, maybe you know of some tools, but I'm not aware of any tools. But my philosophy has always been just expect them to copy you. And as I've seen over the last few years, we get people that literally look like clones of our product. And the only thing that's different is basically the name, but the packaging, to the keywords, to the title, to everything. And really, what we've done to try to defend against that is to really make sure that our quality is top notch, because a lot of these, you know, people that are coming in and cheating, for lack of a better term, are going to copy you. They're really in it for the short term. Mm-hmm. If they're just trying to squeeze out the last few bucks and they're going to be gone. But if you can build a brand, which is part of our separation, is we're trying to build a long-term brand where you can build consistent quality, consistent performance, consistent products, you're going to get those customers. It's just, you know, it's kind of like Apple. You know, Apple has their products and there's people that are just loyal customers, regardless of what they put out. They're going to go that direction. Because they protect the brand smartly, either online and everywhere they can, so that you have a good experience. And that's why they get the premium price and the premium product. So we've taken a lot of kind of learning lessons on strategy and marketing and different ways that Apple's done it. And we do a lot of the same things. It's just, you just have to expect somebody's going to copy you, but don't chase just somebody's going to copy you. You know, but also be able to protect and make sure you have that high quality and you have the reputation and you have everything else to become a brand and a product. I mean, that in the long term will be one of the measures that separates these people that are fly by nights or copycats.
Right. And I can't agree more. You're absolutely right. I mean, there's so many knockoffs of Apple products out there, the, you know, the earpods and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, the quality that you get with an Apple product is just completely different than what you'd see on the, with the knockoffs. So yeah, there's no substitute for a good product that meets the needs of a customer.
Absolutely. And there's some strategy that we could do, and we'll probably talk about it later, things that we've done to make sure that we get that high quality.
Great, great. And so just shifting slightly, are you seeing unauthorized sellers on the platform? How have you kept your channel clean, if any? Or are you seeing that problem of people getting access to your product and selling it for prices that you don't really want to, you know, sell at? Are you seeing that problem?
We are seeing it to a certain degree. I would say early on in the life cycle of our products, you know, when we launch a new product, we see that because we use more aggressive pricing. And, you know, anytime there's any type of arbitration at all in the market, whether you give away low costs, you know, free ones, you know, samples, whatever you want, not for resale, whatever, you know, they're going to show up on eBay. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to show up on, you know, any of these auction sites if it's not eBay. And so you just have to factor that in and appreciate that that's going to happen. That's just kind of, you know, the competition and where we are, the state of things. There's no way to police this. So you just kind of expect it. So we kind of expect that at the beginning because, you know, there's really no way else to defend against it. And you're going to spend so much time trying to police it that it's just kind of like, well, you know, we know 10% of the initial launch is going to go to fraud of some way, shape or form. And for us, it's really kind of just a cost of doing business. If we become successful, that's where it becomes more of an issue, because then you're going to have the copycats. You know, the people that are hijacking listings, doing all these things, hopefully, you know, Amazon will start policing it, making it a little bit more difficult. And they are gradually doing it. And some, you know, big players are, you know, taking some big moves to encourage them to do it. But, you know, at the beginning, you know, we just kind of expect it. And we do have hijacks. And that's some of the reason why we've done some of the transparency program early, even though we're not huge. We have been monitoring it and we do see it happening. So we know that it's coming. So that's why we're just being a little bit more, you know, conscious of building it in from the beginning. where, you know, if I had to say 5 years ago, we weren't really thinking about building in fraud and fraud detection and, you know, ways to identify it without building all these things in from the very beginning now. So now we just expect it. So, you know, your success is what, if you're successful, people are going to copy you, and you just have to be able to do it wisely. And that's kind of where we are in our kind of progression right now.
Got it. And then, you know, you talked about the transparency program. Is that an additional cost that you have to pay to Amazon to be part of that program? And is there some justification on that, whether that cost is worth it to you or not?
Yeah, well, the justification is definitely a cost depending on where you are in the ecosystem. You know, for right now, it's about 5 cents, I think, per unit, which is kind of a high cost. I think they're halving it. And depending on this volume that you do, you can get it down lower. But for us, it's kind of an investment in protection in the brand. It is a high price, I think. Is it fair? Probably not. But at least they're providing some way for the sellers to protect themselves. I would advise, you know, people to do it if you're serious long term. It's really the only way that in the long term on the platform you're going to be able to keep people out, especially if you're small. I mean, if you're a big multinational, you know, Nike or somebody else, maybe you have a lot more money behind it. But, you know, it's a small price to pay up front to defend yourself potentially in the future. It also protects your channel. So I know we partner with Etails, and in order to have a good partnership, you know, we have to be able to defend the brand as well. So, you know, for your channel and for your marketing and for the authenticity and to protect your customers, for me, it is costly, but I think it is a long-term investment that we chosen to make because, and we also build it into our QA process. So that we protect ourselves from all over. And even the Chinese, and not isolating Chinese, but even copycat from anywhere. Because I don't really trust, from my experience, I don't really trust the channel, you know, up or down or horizontal, because there's going to be, you know, fakes and competition, whether it comes from wherever. So we've done it just to be proactive. And if we think that we're going to be successful in the long term, which we've been, then we have to do it just as a defensive measure.
Yeah, I think you make a good point around, you know, it's an investment in the long run. And I think a lot of brands typically just think about short-term sales and then, you know, try to hit certain sales targets, which is also important. But, you know, a very offensive strategy. But, you know, this defensive strategy is so important in the long run. And I'm really happy to hear you say that you start off with a strategy like that, which is something that I think a lot of brands should take away from this conversation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all the sellers are learning. You know, a lot, this market is moving quickly, as we know. I mean, every day it's something new. Every day there's some new strategy to sneak around the methods, and, you know, every defense, you know, Amazon will have, there'll be another way around it. And we know they're teaching it in schools, and, you know, not legitimate schools, but they're teaching, you know, through networks and social networks. The challenge for the modern day business is, you know, the ways to cheat are so quick nowadays that, mm-hmm. you know, it's, if you let your guard down for a day, you know, you could be out of inventory tomorrow. So, you know, that's been part of what I've been trying to do is just really stay on top of it. Me being in the software business myself, I know how easy it is to game the system. I would say early on, I necessarily call it gaming, but we definitely took advantage of having my IT experience on how to optimize listings and, you know, think about how you search and find stuff, I think was some of our early benefits, which is now commonplace today, but it wasn't 3 or 4 years ago. People didn't think of it this way.
Yeah. You make a good point also on just being so real time with this business because things change so fast. You know, something that worked, you know, a few weeks back or maybe a year back may not just work right now. And you have to be on top of this business at every given point of time, just given the nature of how it works. I think another big Absolutely. Takeaway for people in this space.
Yeah. And I've learned that from the beginning. I've taken some early training and I'm a little, you know, critical, but I just assume that the stuff out there that's on YouTube and is being, you know, readily given away for free doesn't work. I've always kind of been that way. It's like, well, if you're teaching it, then that means it doesn't work. But it's good historically to know how it used to work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they're teaching it for free, nobody teaches people how to make money for free. That doesn't happen. So I just assume if it's being taught for free and it's on YouTube, it doesn't work. But it's good to know how it used to work. And still, those are good general business patterns and what used to work, and maybe it'll work in the future. But it's not going to make you successful today. Otherwise, those sellers would be selling. They wouldn't be teaching it.
I agree. I can't even tell you how many times I'll get an ad on my on my YouTube or Facebook feed on a new Amazon course to teach you to make your millions on Amazon. And, my reaction to most of those are exactly yours, is that this is probably gone and the strategy doesn't work anymore. And that's why they're teaching it right now.
Exactly. So they're teaching it to try to get an extra $10,000 or $1,000 into their own pocket.
Correct. Great. And so, obviously the transparency program we talked about at Amazon, do you think Amazon will invest in more programs going in the future? I know they've been getting a lot of heat, a lot of slack on just unauthorized sellers on the platform, counterfeits on the platform. What's your take on just where do you think Amazon will invest?
Well, I mean, they're a tech company, so I think they're going to be investing in more automation and more things, ways to spot and identify. But the market, like anything, is evolving so quickly that every tactic that they put in place is going to, there'll be some workaround and they'll find something around it. And so, I mean, I think they'll continue to evolve and develop these platforms. It's just making it harder and harder for those legitimate people getting in the game. But they're introducing slow new things like the transparency program. There's been very rigid on the whole review things. And to some respect, it hurts me as well. I mean, some of the reviews are different comments, that I think are unfair. They're being very aggressive on nowadays, and it's becoming a little bit more black and white. So I think they're going to invest in a lot more automation. I see a lot of the automation happening, and I it's unfair, but then you also see the people exploiting the system, by doing the countermeasures. And so I kind of see where their position is. They're taking a hard line on some things, and they will evolve. And as they evolve, the crime is going to evolve as well. We've seen it in society. It's not going to be any different for tech. Anywhere there's a way to make a dollar, there's going to be somebody trying to scam it. So I don't know. It's a tough situation for Amazon, but I do think that their focus on the customer is what's going to keep the platform viable and is build the trust in the brand, because Amazon is a brand itself. And I know, I don't necessarily agree with all their tactics, which we could talk about, them being, monopolistic and some other things that they've done. But at the end of the day, they have to protect their brand. And in order to protect their brand, they have to make it, reliable. They have to make sure that these frauds don't get out there. So if they don't do it, they're going to risk their own business. So at the end of the day, I think they're going to do it. Is it going to be real time? Is it going to ever be able to keep up with criminals? No. But people trust it at this point. So until something better comes along, which, that's kind of the demise of these large companies, I think they're going to protect it as much as they can. And they have the money to do it. So I'm sure they're going to be throwing as much money as they can to keep the platform safe.
Right. And while we're at the topic of Amazon, of course, they have their 1P business as well. I mean, what's your take on, 3P versus 1P? What would you recommend to a brand if they are trying to, grow their business on Amazon? Should they be attempting to go after Amazon and say, I really want to be part of your 1P relationship? What's your take there?
Well, I think Amazon themselves is pulling away from the 1P program.
Right.
But we'll see. I just think because the 1P program doesn't have the value, and there's a lot of, I've tried the 1P program and I've tried the 3P program. I've tried all the programs as they've come up, including others like Walmart and the others as well. Everything comes back for me, because I'm not ginormous, is really to focus on all the benefits that I get as a 3P vendor, which I can control. When you go into the 1P space, and I've had some bad experiences with Walmart specifically, the lack of, investment. They're really, when you're a 1P vendor, you lose a lot of that protection. So I've had a lot of those. I've had a lot of those problems, and I've pulled back to 3P for that reason. And what the market will actually, have, will be interesting to see.
That's right. Yeah, we've worked with a number of brands at Etails as well that have pulled out of the 1P relationship. I used to run shoes when I was at Amazon in a 1P fashion, and you're right that it is a program that they're winding down. There is, they're trying to become more of a platform to just let, just players on the platform be able to, utilize their platform as a tech company to grow their business. And the 1P business is nothing but another player on that same platform. And I think we'll see that happen. And as as that relationship with maybe only the large brands exist, and then most of the smaller players, mid-sized players, will just become 3P players. So again, I think it's a good strategy that you've taken to just, you know, build your expertise on the 3P side, because I think that's where the industry is going
to
go.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I dabbled in the 1P business, but like you said, if you're not a big player, you're not going to make any noise. And, you know, these companies are so big that they're going to really only going to be able to focus on large players. So unless you're a large player and you can push yourself in, I didn't really see why they were, you know, competing against each other on the same platform. It didn't make sense. You know, and now more and more of the tools in 3P are just as good as 1P. So the 1P is behind. So, you know, some of the benefits that they used to be there aren't there anymore. You know, like the, what they call, used to have in, it's now called A+, right? EBC, the enhanced branding
Correct.
Content.
Yeah. The
A+
pages.
All that stuff is gone. So there's really no differentiation. So I see a lot of people just pulling off the 1P platform, at least on Amazon. And I see the same parallels happening on Walmart as well. I mean, I had a painful experience on Amazon early days, and I had the same painful experience on Walmart early days.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Like, how do you, as Majeek, how do you think about your brand holistically online across all these different marketplaces? You know, how do you police across the internet? You know, what sort of strategies around brand building do you have to think of just outside of Amazon and, you know, more holistically?
Yeah, more holistically. I've really, from the beginning, I really thought of it as kind of more of a horizontal brand, regardless of platform. And pulling back just from my general business experience, I knew from the beginning that I had to be very choosy with the partners that I worked with. And that's one of the early relationships that I started with Etails. Not the name drop, you guys, but that's one of the reasons why I started with Etails. I still do get a lot of people that want to resell my product. And I've always been just very resistant and just say no. I look at who they are, what they can bring to the table. And like any partnership, it's got to be, you know, a value add, in my opinion. And I think that's one of the reasons why, well, I know it's one of the reasons why I partnered with Etails early on, is one is they had some market presence, but they also had tools and other strategies and other ways that I could learn. You know, working with my, you know, with my marketing partners at Etails and other places, I just compare, you know, what they bring to the table. So that's number one, is really figure out the people that I wanted to work with and make sure that I keep that small so that I can make sure that the brand doesn't get diluted and that it's not everybody fighting for the same customers. Because early on when we started with Etails, you know, the market was dominated largely by Amazon and then maybe even eBay and maybe even some other players. But it didn't make sense to have everybody reselling against, because we know what that means. It's just a race to the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. So and then you couldn't protect your margins. You couldn't protect your reputation. You didn't know who was putting in bad product or not. So right from the gate, it's really about having a quality product, making sure you control the distribution, and choosing your partners wisely. I think that's kind of what we did from day one.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I know you mentioned a little bit about Walmart and you had a little bit of a difficult relationship, at least on the 1P side initially. But how are things now? Is that platform at the same level as Amazon is from a marketing perspective? Like, what's going on there? And maybe touch upon eBay as well.
Yeah. So I right now, I have really pulled back from Walmart and I've really focused with my partnerships and staying in Walmart. You know, they have different programs, just like, you know, Amazon has. And I think, you know, Walmart really, in a lot of respects, is really playing catch up there. I mean, if you look technology wise and mentality wise, I mean, they're just, you know, stuck maybe 10 years ago. So when I've been trying to use the tools and trying to use everything that I had, it just was very hard, right? They have very hard requirements for everything. And so I made a strategic decision to really kind of choose my partners, like Etails, for example, and say, listen, I don't have the bandwidth to do and deal with all of Walmart's learning. I don't have the experience to understand and deal with all these people as they change. And then it didn't help that, for example, Amazon and Walmart are fighting. So I just had some experiences with kind of, you know, the pricing algorithms from both companies, and then Walmart being able to at will change prices because I was probably in the wrong program. But, you know, Walmart still has a lot to learn in the space, especially online. They're really, I think, focused on really the in-store dominance, which is where they are. And the online, they're trying to buy their way in, but they're at least five years and maybe more behind. And the mentality is going to be even harder to break. So that's kind of where my thoughts are with them. And I've chosen a partner to stay in with Walmart just because they're kind of the second, I guess, biggest, but they're so distant seconds. It's almost kind of like it's not worth the hassle right now.
That's
now,
right.
eBay on the other side, I've been with eBay for a long time as well. And I've seen kind of the eBay platform change. You know, I sell new products. So from a market space perspective, eBay is really, that business has decreased, unfortunately, for there as well. And I think largely is it because you can't differentiate in price. You know, you have Amazon that really comes through and is, you know, has all their crawlers and, you know, monitoring tools where they're making it very difficult to not be Amazon as the sole choice just by price alone, right? So whenever they spot a, you know, a differentiation, they'll just turn you off. And so that makes it really hard to be anywhere else. But, you know, we're trying our own website, we're trying Facebook, you know, we're trying eBay, we're trying all these things, but it's very difficult with the Amazon tactics right now. And we'll see if everything gets changed or if any legal issues come in to stop them from doing what they're doing. But right now it's really hard to build, especially for depending on the price point of your product, is to build something off Amazon quickly. And so anyways, that's where I am right now with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I was just having a conversation this morning with someone else around the ad platform that Walmart has right now. I mean, I think there's probably an opportunity in the future where if they can get their store data combined with their online data and create, you know, give access to a more holistic advertisement platform that can target audiences across their an omni-channel experience, maybe there's something there. But yeah, you're right. They're potentially light years behind Amazon's platform right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways they're behind, not only just search and ad and distribution. And I mean, they have such a huge advantage. I don't know who they're using for consultants or internal, but I don't know. They've been kind of an interesting to watch them do and not do, I guess is weird to say.
Right. Great. So, you know, just on current affairs, I'd love to, you know, just, you know, get your opinions on what's been happening in the industry right now. Of course, you're probably in the middle of all of it. You know that there's the big coronavirus that's been happening, and we've been hearing talks about delays from manufacturing. I presume you're manufacturing in China. If that's the case, are you seeing delays on your end? How is that process working out for you?
Yeah, so I'm right in the middle of all that. So fortunately or unfortunately, I don't have any active big order. All my reorders and all that stuff happened already early in January. So I got all my products out. Now, the challenge that I had is when the kind of the coronavirus, you know, broke out is really how it impacted everywhere else. So for me, literally, I have product that's stuck in the Los Angeles ports and I just can't get it off the boat. So I'm having to kind of just... Fortunately, I have enough product on shore where I think I can wait out what's going on. And the product that is in shore was to kind of change and make some changes to my existing product. So I'll be able to survive, but it has ruined some of my timing of things. Long term, you know, we'll see how it works out. I suspect I'll get this, you know, probably a month or two late, maybe. And then once it gets into the supply chain, I'll probably be at least 2 months late. But fortunately, I had enough product onshore, and I also have enough product in Amazon. I try to keep around 60 days, even though that's probably cost me a little bit of money. But I just say I got lucky in this case. I mean, this is a pandemic that we haven't really seen in impacting the countries that I do business. But, you know, it definitely has impacted me. It definitely has made me think of different strategies now on backups. You know, so you're not so solely dependent on one set of producers, but in this case, one country. It's kind of an interesting challenge that we're having. But it's definitely impacted me, and it will definitely change the way I do some of my business going forward, for sure. And also where I'm, you know, looking at maybe getting some backup manufacturers that are not necessarily in China for this very reason.
Correct. Yeah, I was having a conversation with another person earlier this week around the same topic, around it's so hard for, you know, a brand like yourself or anyone for that matter to just switch to a different manufacturer or another provider. And so, you know, being able to plan for that, you know, is also potentially a strategy that one needs to think about. And I think it's opened the eyes, this whole coronavirus thing has opened the eyes of a lot of brands to just think about strategies like that.
Yeah. And I, you know, honestly, I've been trying to bring more and more stuff back to the U.S. My products specifically, because they're nail care business, it's hard. Some of these products you can't even make because of local regulations. And I don't have a lot of options as I have to use offshore. But I've always wanted to make more and more of my stuff onshore, not only because of, you know, just consistency and quality, because I can't always get that same. I can't get consistency. That's where my struggle has been. I've been able to get the product, but it's not always consistent from order to order, which really is frustrating, especially as a brand, that consistency, you know, product over, you know, product. Somebody that buys a product last year of oil, for example, nail oil, and they want to make sure that they get the same quality of nail oil the following year, which, you know, when it's natural and organic, you can't always do. So that's been kind of one of the learning lessons for me. And this just makes it more complicated now.
Of course, of course. Okay, Mark, well, that was all I had. I one last question, you know, before I let you go is, you know, any last minute tips, tricks for third-party sellers who are taking that online course right now or thinking about, you know, getting onto Amazon, or maybe they're selling on Amazon and want to grow? What would you tell them?
Yeah, you know, I would, my advice would be is to build defense into your existing products. When I say be defensive, just plan on people copying you. And expect people to copy you. So if you're really going to be successful long term, you're going to get copied. So know from your whatever, however you're finding your product or building your product, you know, really think about how you're going to defend it. And when I say defend it, I mean legally as well. So look at patents, look at different types, whether it be utility or design, a method, any types of patents, because those at the end of the day, we do know Amazon will defend against those. So if you don't have any legal defense, you're going to have a challenge long term. And a lot of the products that I sell, they're all patent pending. And will I get their full patents? Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, that's part of the investment nowadays is you have to be defensive from the beginning. And that comes down to really learn. So really learn about how to defend your products if you're going to be successful. And I know the fly-by-nighters, whether you're onshore or offshore, that are building it, you know, that's not where you want to focus. But if you want to be successful long term, you're going to have to think of that out of the gate and right from the beginning. Because if you are one of the fortunate people that understand business, how to build a unique product, you're going to have to defend it. So that would be my tip, you know, expect to be copied. And, you know, as other people say, you know, copying is the sincerest form of flattery, but it's not very fun in business, but you should expect it.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I would like to really thank you for calling in. It was, I really enjoyed this conversation, and I wish you all the best and all the success in your business as you continue to grow your brand and become a true global brand.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate your partnership and working with Etails as well. So it's been a good relationship, and you know, it's been one of those bi-directional relationships. So I wish you guys success, and hopefully we'll all be successful together and be in business for a long time.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Through conversations with experts in online retail with years of marketing, compliance, and inventory management experience, we seek to empower our listeners to master the marketplace. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time on Master the Marketplace with Etails.